Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Tom Foti. She is probably the world's most famous former secret agent, Valerie Plame Wilson, whose name was revealed to reporters by administration officials upset with her war critic husband, appeared before a congressional committee now controlled by Democrats critical of that administration. She said she felt betrayed, felt like she had been hit in the gut.
We in the CIA always know that we might be exposed and threatened by foreign enemies. It was a terrible irony that administration officials were the ones who destroyed my cover.
Nobody has been charged with a crime for doing that, and the head of the Office of Security at the White House told the House committee there's been no internal investigation.
I have no knowledge of any investigation within my office.
But Vice President Cheney's former top aide has been convicted of lying about the case to investigators and a grand jury. Well, spring has definitely not sprung in much of the country. In case anybody in the Northeast had any doubts about that, they are getting enough snow, ice, and rain to remind them and then some. Stuck in a car or planning to drive in upstate New York? Not the best idea. A lot of major roads having big problems. Betsy Graham's with the New York State Thruway Authority.
System-wide, we are out there in full force today, but we are encouraging motorists to plan their trips carefully, listen to the local weather reports or the National Weather Service before they head out.
Up to a foot of snow predicted around Albany, more than that further north and west. While in Boston, they've had to close Logan Airport as crews work on clearing the runways. And with memories of those stuck planes and passengers about a month ago, JetBlue has canceled nearly three-quarters of all of its flights. Air travelers should check before heading for the airport. Just how much crime is there on the Internet?
The FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, called IC3, says Internet auction fraud was the most common offense reported, making up 45% of the complaints. Email and web pages were the primary means by which the fraudulent contact took place. The total dollar loss from all of the fraud cases referred to the FBI was $198 million, a typical loss of $724 per victim.
CBS's John Harchi in Washington. Late last year, Sean Bell was out celebrating his upcoming wedding with some friends in Queens, New York. Somehow they got mixed up in a police stakeout. Shots were fired, dozens of them. When the incident was over, Sean Bell was dead. Now, three of the five police officers who did the shooting face criminal charges. Michael Palladino is president of the New York Detectives Endowment Association.
Michael Oliver, Mark Cooper, and our undercover officer have been indicted by this grand jury regarding the Sean Bell situation from November 25th.
Just what the charges are, not yet clear. There's proposed legislation in the South Carolina legislature that would have pregnant women forced to view ultrasound images of their fetuses before getting an abortion. Anti-abortion legislators think that would lead some women to change their minds. On Wall Street, the end of the week, the Dow down 49 points. The Nasdaq was down 6. This is CBS News.
Hey, this is Michael Walter.
And I'm Sammy Hagar.
And we're here to tell you that when you stop by NAPA today, you can register for a chance to ride in my number 55 Toyota.
So, Michael, what you're saying is, I could ride in 55!
Exactly.
Stop by any participating NAPA Auto Parts store today and register for your chance to win a ride in the number 55 NAPA Toyota. See store for official sweepstakes rules and complete details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. NAPA, get the good stuff.
Fresh Arty tuna is seasoned and seared. The salmon, tender. The steaks, thick and juicy. Your only worry, you might have to share.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life is better when together.
Go out back.
Ray race has long been a factor in predicting how long Americans live.
Life expectancy differences between whites and blacks in America are narrowing, Dr. Sam Harper, lead author of a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
We saw over the past decade about a 25% decline in the gap among men and about an 18% decline in the gap among women.
Heart disease is the leading contributor to the racial life expectancy gap, which, despite the improvement, remains wide, more than 6 years among males, 4.5 years among females. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Local officials being warned to keep a watch for possible suspicious activity involving school buses.
Over time, a number of school districts have reported that there are a number of foreign nationals who have been trying to get bus drivers' licenses. In some cases, they've managed to acquire them. In almost every case, they acquired them legally. And there have been cases where foreign nationals have actually bought school buses to be used in some non-school-related transportation activities.
Correspondent Bob Orr. I'm Tom Foti, CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
No, just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
And now for the bonus round. If second place is the first loser, who came in last?
Billy.
Correct. Nothing rhymes with orange. What color are my boxers?
Duh, they're blue.
Correct. What's the affordable way to rent DVDs?
Netflix, with plans from only $4.99 a month.
Correct! Netflix! Choose your movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Plans now from only $4.99 a month and never a late fee. Start your free trial today. Netflix, it's that easy.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a Friday edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B., an actual Irish-American. Ready to celebrate St. Patty's Day with you this weekend. And we've dug into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives for some of our favorite Irish rock and roll for bumper music today. Somewhere along the way, we'll even trot out the Young Dubliners. They know how to party. One of my favorite Irish rock bands, U2. And I think it's a theme song for Karl Rove and the Bushy White House today. It's called Out of Control. We're going to cover some of the fronts for you. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk about the secrecy of the Bush administration and the fight over freedom of information. David Westfall is the McClatchy Washington editor, and he's going to talk with us about Sunshine Week. We'll also chat with Barbara Cochran. She's president of the Radio Television News Directors Association. Also on today's program, about an hour from now, Ken Roth, the director of Human Rights Watch, will join us. We'll see if his BS detector went off when he read the alleged confession from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and just what part of it may be true, and just how torture has played a role in the alleged revelations he made before the tribunal at Guantanamo last Saturday. Also on today's program, as usual, Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com, will join us in our third and final hour. Advocates for the disabled have joined forces to sink the DRE touchscreen voting machines that so many of us believe are hackable and could result in fixed elections. We'll be talking about that later on. And, of course, Topic A in Washington, Valerie Plame Wilson. I heard her speak for the first time today before Henry Waxman's committee in the House on Capitol Hill. And in just a couple of minutes, David Swanson, an activist who helped form AfterDowningStreet.org, he's been in front of a lot of the progressive movements of the last couple of years. He was actually real-time blogging at the Waxman hearings today, so we'll get his first-person account. But joining us right now is Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation, and a journalist knows that when the news changes, you change with it. But we invited Ari on the program today to talk about a recent article that he wrote about the financing of next year's presidential presidential election campaigns. Ari, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Always good to talk with you. And thanks for the piece you wrote. And we will give it a little short shrift, but direct people to thenation.com, where they can search for the Millionaire's Primary and read it for themselves. But the basic headline here is that Russ Feingold is recognizing that many, including John McCain and Hillary Clinton and perhaps others, including Barack Obama, may opt out of the federal matching funds program as they run in the primaries and the general next year. And Feingold has recognized this by, he has recognized it by proposing the Presidential Funding Act of 2007. What would that do, Ari? How would it change the picture?
Well, Senator Feingold's bill would provide much higher caps on the amount of public funding that these candidates can get because the post-Watergate reforms did not adjust for today's longer, more expensive campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically preserves that concept, which really has strong support to this day, that the government should provide voluntary funding mechanism for candidates to participate and thus reduce the amount of private corporate fundraising they have to do. But what he does, as I said, is provide more of that to catch up with the changes to the system and to provide it earlier because, as everyone knows, these candidates are out there a full year earlier than they used to when the original funding laws were passed. And as you said, Peter, most of the top-tier candidates are completely opting out, which leaves us with really runaway and, I argue, reckless fundraising that is bad for our democracy.
And not to single out one party over the other, but John McCain made a big deal out of co-sponsoring McCain-Feingold with the senator from Wisconsin. Is he going to opt out?
Yeah, he has basically indicated that he intends to opt out. Senator McCain has been completely MIA on the Feingold bill. He's not a co-sponsor, although he was, I should note, a co-sponsor of a very similar bill that would have also modernized and potentially prevented what we're seeing this year had it passed in the previous Congress. So he's sort of in a pickle here. He has a record of being supportive of exactly this kind of program, and yet this year he is not on board.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, again, I want to direct people to thenation.com where they can read more about this. And, Ari, I'll be happy to follow up in the future, and we can talk at length. And this is a story that will continue to be in play as the road to 2008 continues in its own special way. But I want to first get your thoughts about Valerie Plame Wilson's testimony before Henry Waxman's committee on Capitol Hill today.
Yeah, I also watched your testimony. I thought it was moving. People forget. Her name has been in the news so much that this was actually, literally, the first time she has spoken out in public.
Mm-hmm.
This is a brave woman who served her country as a covert officer, which was made clear repeatedly by her today and also by the CIA and by Chairman Waxman's testimony, which was cleared and confirmed by the CIA. So there's absolutely no doubt on that central fact that she was a covert operative.
But you don't expect that to stop Republican talking points?
Well, liars tend to keep lying. So to the extent that they want to continue their lie and really insult the American public and its intelligence by repeating these lies, as we've seen both on security and other matters, they can do it. I think we're seeing the implosion and the results of that, finally, overdue, but finally. So I was struck in her testimony by her poise, by the personal part of this that she, felt like she really took it in the gut when she first saw herself outed.
And can we say she's a babe?
I think she's very attractive. She's a married woman, but she comported herself well, and she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, she really is. Well, a man who is right behind her in the hearing room today is our friend David Swanson. He's an activist in Washington. If you want to find out more about him, go to afterdowningstreet.org, impeachpack.org, democrats.com. David, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hi, Peter.
So what was it like there to be in the hearing room? And I think I spotted you on TV. Were you in the first row right behind Valerie Plame Wilson?
I was in the front row. I was a few seats to the left if you were looking at her.
Oh, okay.
She was a celebrity. Hordes of cameras, video cameras, still cameras, just a swarm of media and audience left. You know, virtually all of the media and two-thirds of the audience left when she left, although I think the more interesting testimony came after that point in the hearings.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a moment. I heard her make the key point that she was covert and that that is not some issue that is subject to debate. She also told a pretty powerful story related to the allegations, you know, that she did her husband a favor by promoting him for this junket to Niger. There's no Club Med there, so I don't know how you call it a junket. At any rate, she talked about a colleague at the CIA whose words had been twisted to the point that he came to her in tears and said that he had tried to send a corrective memo and his superiors had told him no, and that he also wanted to be re-interviewed by the FBI or the grand jury in what has become the Libby case, but the Fitzgerald investigation, so that he could correct that record, and that request was denied. So that was a very interesting twist, I thought.
Yes, and the memo that was mentioned, Congressman Waxman openly committed to trying to obtain that memo, as he did on a number of occasions through the course of the hearing, when new documents would be mentioned or new potential witnesses would be mentioned. I mean, this is an investigation that, if it is pursued the way it sounds like it might be, could expand almost infinitely.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, what was the highlight of the proceedings before Mr. Waxman today?
Well, certainly the Valerie Plame testimony was compelling and was a long time coming, but I thought it was at least as interesting to watch a couple of representatives of the White House testify under oath after her on the second panel, in particular James Nodell, the director of the Office of Security at the White House, who began rather flummoxed and indicating that he thought he wouldn't have to answer questions about specific investigations. When that was cleared up by Congressman Waxman, he was pretty quickly claiming that he didn't know whether any investigations of this matter had been done or not, that it was before his time. You know, this is the endless problem, the turnover at the White House, and we need to be constantly bringing in the predecessors of the current employees. But within a couple of more minutes, he was claiming that there have been no investigations. And so this was the huge story that really you saw the jaws drop on all of the Democrats on the committee, that there has been no investigation. And the justification was that there was a criminal investigation going on, and a number of the Democratic committee members pointed out that it hadn't been going on for months after this happened, when the president publicly committed to finding out the truth and heads would roll and so forth.
Well, and the criminal investigation would not have been necessary if there had been a White House investigation that led to the revelation of who leaked and they left the White House. It's that simple. The president, like so many other things, appeared to be completely lacking curiosity about how this leak happened.
That's absolutely right. And another Congress member pointed out that there are numerous instances of individuals losing their security clearance pending criminal investigations, although those tend to be critics of the administration or people who reveal things like crimes at Abu Ghraib, rather than this type of scenario. And and so the question of why someone like Karl Rove still has security clearance played a big part in the second panel. And one of the Congress members pointed out that these are reviewed every 5 years, and Karl Rove's security clearance would have been reviewed in 2006, and there would have to be records of that review. But the director of security at the White House pleaded ignorance and said he would have to get back to them.
Very interesting. We're going to take a break and return. That's David Swanson, who was there at the Waxman's committee hearing on Capitol Hill this morning, and all day long, actually. And also with us is Ari Melber from The Nation. We'll get a comment from him when we return. And if you want to join the mix, call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and in Sacramento today, we're sitting in once again for Christine Kraft on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Some Irish rock. Here we go. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, getting ready for the St. Patrick's Day weekend. You can tip one in my honor. I'll be pleased. Here's a little Thin Lizzy for you.
Don't believe me about sugar.
And I'll dedicate this to Carl Rove. We continue now with David Swanson. He's there in Washington where he attended the hearing on Capitol Hill today. And also Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation, is with us. Ari, wanted to give you a chance to react to the commentary and also the remarks of James Nodell that he's the White House security director, but gosh, can't remember any investigations of this leak thing.
Yeah, the Nodell bombshell was one of the most disturbing things that we learned today, and Congressman Cummings put it very well when he described this as a breach on top of a breach. that after the potentially illegal and definitely dangerous outing of a CIA agent, you have a White House going into damage control and saying they're going to get to the bottom of it. And then, according to James Nodell, who works there, they did not investigate this matter at all, despite public statements from the president on down that they were doing that. So you have a national security breach followed up by what appear to be lies, followed up by a dereliction of duty from the investigatory office that is supposed to get to the bottom of these things. You can't really overstate it. It is just terrible what they've done, and Chairman Waxman has already sent a letter today to Chief of Staff Bolton to follow up on this, stay on the case, and see if more heads should roll for it.
David Swanson, to my knowledge, Patrick Fitzgerald must have been in Chicago getting ready for St. Patrick's Day, where they, you know, pump orange dye into the river to turn it green. He did not show today, is that right?
He did not. He was not subpoenaed. He was asked to come, and he didn't come, and I think that request is still pending. Mr. Nodell did come under threat of subpoena. Apparently yesterday the White House said he would not, and Congressman Waxman said, well, then I'll subpoena, and so he came. Waxman is clearly trying to do without subpoenas, but I think we've clearly reached a point where that's not going to cut it, and there are several individuals who obviously need to be questioned under oath in this particular matter, including Patrick Fitzgerald.
Well, we could give him immunity, too. I'm just kidding. Because my reference is that because U.S. attorneys have been fired for not doing the bidding of the Justice Department and the White House, that he's caught in a bit of a pickle right now. And he may be, you know, choosing his words very carefully and trying to figure out just how much room to maneuver he has. David, what else can you tell us about the scene in the hearing room and the chemistry there? I saw a number of the Republicans trying very hard to recite their lines, but they really weren't getting very far with Valerie Wilson.
Well, there weren't very many Republicans there to be seen. For most of the hearing, there were two Republicans, the ranking member, Tom Davis from Virginia,
right,
and Congressman Westmoreland. And the effort that Davis was putting up, and by the way, it was great. This is the first time I've seen more Democrats than Republicans in a hearing. Davis was there to push the line that you were discussing earlier that, they didn't know she was covert. And of course, revealing classified information negligently is exactly as illegal as revealing it intentionally. But he also was trying to shift blame to the CIA and to blame the CIA for not having prevented the leak, for not having stopped Novak. And Valerie Plame Wilson pointed out that the CIA did tell Novak not to publish the story, and he went ahead and did so.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if many people found Congressman Davis's arguments persuasive. Needless to say, I didn't.
Now, what about Victoria Tensing? She wrote that hit piece that was published while the jury was about to begin deliberations in the Libby case. Did she come in and try to spin Ann Coulter style?
So I'm told. I didn't stick around for the third panel, but
okay.
I understand that she put up a fight and never was willing to admit that she was wrong on the issue of Valerie Plame Wilson being covert,
mm-hmm.
Which is stunning given the evidence that had been presented in the hearing prior to that panel.
I would just jump in.
Go ahead.
She's no expert on whether or not current members of the government are covert.
Right.
The entire idea that because however many decades ago she worked on the Hill, that gives her some authority, like only in a cartoon. I mean, it really doesn't matter at all. It's great that she served her country on the Hill, but it gives her no credential or substantive knowledge of who is employed by the CIA. In fact, the entire discussion, you know, this is one of the logic games, the entire discussion is about whether someone is covert, in which case you wouldn't know it, even if you lived in Washington and had access to certain information. And that's why there's been this sort of Alice in Wonderland quality to folks saying, well, I knew for a fact that she was or wasn't converted or did this kind of work, and so I know the other thing. It's like, well, you know what the CIA ideally wants you to know, and so she has no authority to be testifying in the way that she was.
Yeah, her current role is in a four-letter word. She's a hack. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. David, thanks for checking in with us today, and thanks for all of your advocacy. What website do you want to send people to? You get one.
impeach07.org.
All right, very good. And Ari Melber, thenation.com. Thanks. We'll talk to you both soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, gentlemen. Very good. Coming up next, a little sunshine for the news media right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify flying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can be.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media.
Really?
Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Gearing up for the St. Patty's Day weekend, our bumper music today, all Irish rock and roll. from an early U2 record. Now don't hurt yourself trying to be Irish this weekend, okay? Still to come on the Peter B. Collins Show today, about a half hour from now, we'll be joined by the National Director of Human Rights Watch, Kenneth Roth. And we'll talk about the alleged confession of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed under unusual circumstances at Gitmo last weekend. Well, this is officially Sunshine Week across the country, and here in California, we got the better part of the deal. It's been summertime-like weather. It's 85 degrees and just spectacular outside. And I say that just to make life a little more miserable for David Westfall. He is a 35-year veteran of the newspaper business as a writer and editor, and currently the Washington editor for McClatchy Newspapers. David, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks very much, Peter. It's sleeting right now in Washington, so you're absolutely right about getting the better end of the deal.
Yeah, and I heard all kinds of flights were canceled. I talked to somebody in New York earlier who was going to sleep on a friend's couch because she didn't think she could just get across the river to her home in New Jersey tonight.
Yeah, it's March in the East Coast. It was 75 here earlier this week, and now it's snowing and sleeting.
Well, at least for California, you picked a good time for Sunshine Week. Explain what this is, and then I want to ask you about a specific case.
It's really a celebration of the First Amendment and the five freedoms that are enshrined in the First Amendment. Of course, especially the freedom of the press in this celebration. It's the third national observance of Sunshine Week. Really got a start in the States, especially in Florida, but it got picked up by the American Society of Newspaper Editors 3 years ago as a special observance, and it's really taken off. So much so that this week in Congress, the Democrats timed several pieces of legislation that fell under their openness agenda for Sunshine Week.
Mm-hmm. Well, the sunshine I'm looking for right now is to kind of try to burn off my skepticism about what I referred to before you came on, the alleged confession of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed under unusual circumstances at Guantanamo Bay. And I'm just curious about your reaction to it. You don't have to go to the core of the issues, and you don't have to get political. But I feel really burned that this story has been delivered to the American people as a package from the Pentagon. We only have their transcript to rely upon. Some senators and other members of Congress apparently have been able to see a videotape of the proceedings. But it would have much more credibility if there had been at least a single reporter present when Mr. Mohammed allegedly made his rambling remarks.
Well, I certainly don't disagree with that. Guantanamo has been an ongoing struggle for the news media to try to get a foothold down there, and we have reporters that have been able to get to Guantanamo and observe some things, but it's a disappointment, of course, that reporters couldn't be there to see what was actually happening.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at that in the larger context, the Bush administration has been described as one of the most secretive in our history, certainly the most secretive in recent years, and its contempt for the free flow of information started with day one when Bush signed an executive order early in the term to tie up his father's presidential papers for even longer than had been planned. And, you know, you go right down the line into the various methods that they used to change the terms of the Constitution and international law, the Geneva Conventions, as applied to detainees at Guantanamo and elsewhere. And in your view, do you think we'll ever recover from the darkness? Will there be enough sunshine to offset the heavy-handed methods the Bush administration has used to control information?
Well, I certainly think so. Our country has had a lot of ups and downs about openness and secrecy. Although I did hear a Georgetown professor this morning, David Vladek, say in Washington that history will anoint George Bush as the secrecy president. So there's certainly more than a few people who believe that the current president will go down as among the more secrecy-oriented mm-hmm. presidents in history. You have to acknowledge that 9/11 probably would have made any president react with some secrecy in mind, and so you have that sitting there. But there's no doubt. In fact, it's interesting. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a poll last week that showed that Americans believe that overwhelmingly, I think it's 70% of Americans think that the federal government is very or somewhat secretive, and that's about twice the number who think that their own local and state governments are very or somewhat secretive. So Americans certainly think that of the federal government.
Yeah. And as you look at the news media, what steps do you think that you can take to be more aggressive, assertive, and deliver more information that the American people need and want?
Well, and that's a big part of Sunshine Week, but the Newspaper Publishers Association, as well as the Associated Press, formed something called the Sunshine Government Initiative, and it's been quite active in going up to Capitol Hill and pushing an openness agenda. And this week the House passed some amendments to the Freedom of Information Act that would be quite welcome by the news media. So one step that the journalism organizations have taken is to become, frankly, more aggressive on Capitol Hill on lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that news organizations are reluctant to do in a way because our job is simultaneously to be the honest broker in delivering information. So it's a difficult role that many organizations have been reluctant to take. But increasingly, I think there's a feeling that we have no choice. And I also think that press organizations are understanding that this is not just their fight. It's not just our fight. It's the fight of many other organizations, historians, scientists, librarians, and for that matter, all citizens. When you make a request under the Freedom of Information Act, it doesn't matter whether you're a reporter, a scientist, historian, or somebody who lives down the block. You all have equal standing.
Mm-hmm. Now, the top story of the day, of course, is Valerie Plame's appearance before Congressman Waxman's committee on Capitol Hill today. And I'm curious your views now that the Libby trial has reached a verdict that will be appealed, of course. But on the one hand, it appeared that Tim Russert's credibility was unshaken and that his testimony was pivotal in persuading the jurors about the lack of honesty of Scooter Libby. But in a greater sense, the media got drawn into this case in a number of unfortunate ways. I happen to believe that it was a conscious effort on the part of those at the White House to drag out any investigation by using this cover story that it was a reporter who told Scooter Libby the identity of Valerie Wilson. And I think that, you know, when we know all the facts here, we'll learn that he was certainly not alone in concocting that story. But my sense is, David Westfall, that they were betting that no judge and no prosecutor would ever demand that somebody like Judith Miller reveal her sources or go to jail, or even Bob Novak. And they lost that bet, and I think we're all worse off for it.
Well, it wasn't a real happy day for the news organizations and for the press of this country. In many respects, I think the trial itself, calling reporter after reporter to testify, I think it also didn't paint a real favorable picture of the cozy relationship that sometimes exists in Washington between government sources and reporters. But the biggest loss, I think, for the press was that the legal system worked its way through to a finding that reporters have zero protection when it comes to federal subpoenas.
Mm-hmm.
For many, many years, going back to 1972, there was at least a hint or an indication in the Supreme Court ruling that there would be some protection for reporters from subpoena power of prosecutors. But this case went to the Supreme Court. They declined to hear it, and essentially the upshot now is that there is nothing. There is nothing to protect a reporter from a subpoena, a prosecutor's subpoena to appear before a grand jury and then testify. And that's very disconcerting and of great concern to news organizations that prosecutors will now feel free to use reporters as investigative tools whenever they want. And as a result of this, there's some growing support for a federal shield law of the kind that almost every state in the country has.
And do you think, you know, assuming the Congress passed a meaningful reporter shield law at the national level, would George Bush sign it?
Well, I don't know. certainly this week the administration indicated that it strongly opposed the legislation passed, the Freedom of Information amendments passed by the House this week by an overwhelming vote. So I think it's quite possible that the president would not support it. I don't know. I don't think that they have taken a position on it, and it's got a way to go. It wouldn't be an absolute shield, and in almost no state is there an absolute shield of protection for reporters.
No, I understand that, particularly if a reporter is a witness to a crime. I think that changes the circumstances. But when a reporter is being brought in this case, to, you know, play neener about what Libby said, when he said it, what he heard, when he heard it, that to me was a trivial use of them. And again, I believe it was part of the scheme to try to keep this leak from being investigated and discovered.
Well, that may well be, but in any case, the upshot is not a happy one for the news media.
Yeah, we're talking with David Westfall. He's the Washington editor of McClatchy Newspapers. Visit the website sunshineweek.org to get more information about the efforts to keep information open and flowing freely. That's sunshineweek.org. David, just a couple of final questions. Is Joe Galloway under your charge?
Well, in a way, yes. He's a columnist for the McClatchy Tribune wire service. That
yeah, you acquired him when you swallowed the Knight Ridder chain last year. I just wanted to put in a vote to give him a raise.
He's a great guy. I was trading email with him today. He's going to come to Washington in a couple weeks and moderate a panel for the editors' convention here on how soldiers are being treated after Iraq.
Yeah,
no, service in Iraq.
He's terrific. He's been on with us several times, and if you can give him a raise, please do.
Okay.
And my last question for you: when Stephen Colbert appeared before the correspondents' dinner last year, were you present?
You know, I was, and I was out of town for that, and half glad I was, I suppose.
All right, well, then you're off the hook, because my barometer for people in Washington in the news business is how they responded to Colbert's bit.
Oh, I see.
And I can't believe how many people who were there who are bona fide, qualified journalists didn't think it was funny. I just thought it was incredible.
It is a bit of a Rorschach test. I agree with that.
All right. David, thanks for taking time to talk with us, and happy Sunshine Week.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
In sleet-filled Washington, D.C. David Westfall, Washington editor for McClatchy Newspapers. They've got the Bee in Sacramento, and they've got the Herald in Monterey. Coming up next, we'll continue our conversation about Sunshine Week with the president of the Radio TV News Directors Association. Barbara Cochran joins us next on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally
professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today, located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the state of the media, the need for sunshine in our government. And you can join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number.
To be your friend, smiling faces, show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Barbara Cochran joins us from Washington now. She's been president of the Radio Television News Directors Association and its affiliated foundation for about 10 years now. And she's a longtime proponent of diversity in the newsroom. She's worked for a wide range of organizations. She was a VP and bureau chief for CBS News in Washington, executive producer of Meet the Press, VP of News at National Public Radio, managing editor of the Washington Star. Barbara, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Tell me what Sunshine Week means to you and where sunshine is needed the most.
Well, Sunshine Week is a national campaign. This is the third year that it's been a national campaign to try to remind people about the importance of open government, open access, and to let people know that this is not just something journalists worry about. This is, it's really your right to know what your government is doing.
Mm-hmm. And there are very important fronts. We were just talking with a colleague of yours who is with the McClatchy newspapers, David Westfall. And one of the things I raised with him is the current so-called confession that has been published from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I'm one of those people who is skeptical because they wouldn't permit a reporter or any other, unbiased third party to witness these proceedings. And given what we know about what's happened at Guantanamo, even the hints in the transcript that KSM was tortured along the way, I have serious doubts about that. And again, if the media or some other independent third party had been there to witness this, the credibility meter would go up by a factor of 10.
That's absolutely true. I mean, letting journalists in to see, observe what's going on, perhaps to even participate in questioning is something that certainly adds to the credibility and the openness of what's whatever the event is. I'm not sure if that works with interrogation of a terrorist, but you know, certainly it would have the points that you raise about whether this is how this happened and whether this is on the up and up, we'll never know because there weren't any independent witnesses.
Well, and this administration, and I don't want to unnecessarily draw you into political commentary against your will, but this administration has operated with a real contempt for openness and truth and with a kind of trust me approach. And time and time again, they've shown they really can't be trusted. And, Barbara, I, like you, have been working in this business for a long time. I remember COINTELPRO. I remember the J. Edgar Hoover counterintelligence efforts that occurred domestically in the 1960s and early 70s in this country. And we passed laws, including the FISA law, to try to prevent those excesses from recurring. But we're kind of right back there in too many ways, aren't we?
Well, you had an example just last week when the FBI disclosed that they had been using the Patriot Act improperly. And, you know, at the time that the Patriot Act was under consideration, we and other organizations that represent journalists were very concerned about it because, for one thing, it didn't really differentiate with journalists, and some of the things that they were going to do would have compromised a lot of confidential sources that journalists used to get important stories. But it turns out that, you know, while the government was saying, trust us, that they did end up being abused. There was invasion of privacy, and people were snooped on who probably had no connection to terrorism investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I sense a mood in the country now of wanting to hold government institutions accountable. In the election, I think we saw a mood of accountability. You know, there were members of Congress who had abused their authority, acted in a very high-handed manner, and the voters threw them out. And, you know, I sense also that are a lot more questions being asked and that the public wants to ask questions, wants to know what their government is doing, and I think that is very much in line with the idea of sunshine.
Mm-hmm. And Barbara, if I can turn the A word around, is there any effort to really require accountability of the media itself? Let me give you an example. I'm really troubled by this series that started on Dateline NBC that's now been spun off into a freestanding series of gotcha shows. It's called To Catch a Predator. This guy Chris Hansen, you know, works with this murky group of people, and they go online and get some schlub to show up thinking he's going to have sex with a teenage girl. It's entrapment pure and simple, and while they pose as these moral crusaders who are preventing the kind of Mark Foley crimes from being committed, I think it's an abuse of the law, the Constitution, and I think it's bad journalism that shouldn't be on television. Does the RTNDA take any position on that?
Well, we haven't taken a position on that particular show, and you know, I think if you had a producer from NBC on, they could probably make a pretty good case of why they think this is important. You know, I don't want to get into those specifics, but you know, yes, we have a code of ethics that includes principles of public trust and truth and fairness and integrity, the kinds of issues that you raised about this particular series. The thing about journalism is you can always have a debate about something. You can always flesh it out into the open. And because there are so many different voices, you know, NBC may decide to do that, but, you know, here you are, you have claim to the airwaves, and you can go on the air and criticize it and have a debate about it. And I think that's what makes journalism accountable. It's mm-hmm. all done there out in the open. There is a lot of scrutiny of journalism and a lot of criticism of journalism today, and, you know, I think we're all the better for it because, heaven knows, news organizations make mistakes. We've mm-hmm. seen a number of them. We've seen apologies, and we've seen you know, news organizations that have had to take corrective measures, and I think that's all very healthy.
Mm-hmm. One other issue, and we just have 30 seconds. NBC owns Telemundo, and last year they shut down most of the local news operations of Telemundo stations, apparently deciding that the Spanish-speaking communities don't need news in this country. Did you react to that?
Gosh, I am not aware of that. In fact, I was just out in Los Angeles visiting a station, and they had a thriving Telemundo news operation there. So,
well,
maybe there are some smaller markets where there was some consolidation, but
as far as
I know, they're going strong.
In San Jose, San Francisco, they shut down the whole news department, and it's coming in from Dallas now. Barbara, I'm out of time, but thank you for joining us, and thanks for Sunshine Week.
Okay, thank you.
Barbara Cochran, president of the RTNDA, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Valerie Plame Wilson speaks out.
The harm that is done when a CIA cover is blown is grave.
Attorney General Gonzalez could soon be out.
Republicans close to the White House tell CBS News it is now inevitable Gonzalez will be fired.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Her cover blown, her career ruined, and angry, Valerie Plame Wilson appeared before a House panel today. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
It was a moment of high drama. The woman at the center of the CIA leak case that has roiled Washington for years finally spoke, telling how she was a covert operative who traveled around the world, and of the day her cover was blown in a newspaper column.
I felt like I had been hit in the gut.
A leak driven by a desire in the White House to discredit her husband, who is attacking their bases to go to war with Iraq.
We in the CIA always know that we might be exposed and threatened by foreign enemies. It was a terrible irony that administration officials were the ones who destroyed my cover.
Pressed by Republicans, Wilson said she couldn't be sure. Vice President Cheney, Scooter, Libby, Karl Rove, and the others knew her job was secret, but said they were careless and reckless and put foreign agents and sources in danger.
Lives are literally at stake.
Democrats say now that the criminal trial is over, they will pursue this to hold the White House accountable. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Another witness today was James Nodell, director of the White House Security Office. If anyone ever tried to find the source of the leak, Nodell said he didn't know about it.
I have no knowledge of any investigation within my office.
President Bush had promised a full investigation, but Nodell says he never had a conversation about the leak with the president, the vice president, Karl Rove, or anyone else. Now this.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-71-LUCKY. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-71-LUCKY for all the exciting details. That's 866-71-LUCKY. Call now.
Pressure continues to mount on Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod says Republicans close to the White House say it's just a matter of time before President Bush shows him the door. New evidence suggesting that the firings of eight U.S. attorneys are politically motivated.
CBS News has obtained performance reviews for some of the fired prosecutors. 9 months before John McKay was fired as U.S. Attorney for Western Washington, he was described as an effective, well-regarded, and capable leader. Arkansas's Bud Cummins was called very competent and highly regarded in January of 2006. And Carol Lamb in Southern California was an effective manager and a respected leader in February of 2005.
The White House no longer insists that the idea of firing U.S. attorneys originated with former presidential counsel Harriet Myers. Spokesman Tony Snow now says people have hazy memories. A mixture of snow, sleet, and freezing rain is making for a miserable night in the mid-Atlantic and New England. Away from the coast, CBS News meteorologist George Cullen says the snow will be heavy.
We may see 18, 19, even 20 inches of snow across eastern Pennsylvania, upstate New York, and most sections of central and northern New England.
WGAN Radio's Derek Mitchell is in Portland, Maine.
Well, the snow is definitely starting to come down. They're saying this is just the start of it, but the roads are covered in pretty slick snow. It's coming down pretty hard. The wind is blowing, making it pretty tough to see, and there are already a fair share of accidents on all the highways.
At the airports, big delays and hundreds of flights have been canceled. Tim Wagner is a spokesman for American Airlines.
The most affected airports are LaGuardia and JFK. About 40 departures out of LaGuardia and 25 out of JFK were canceled. And Boston, we've only canceled about 9 departures. Newark, about 5, and Philadelphia, about 2.
Delta says it canceled 250 flights today. JetBlue grounded 215. A New York grand jury looking into the fatal shooting of an unarmed black man by police wrapped up its investigation today. Lawyers for 3 of the 5 officers involved say their clients have been indicted. 23-year-old Sean Bell was gunned down outside a nightclub just hours before his wedding. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, this is Michael Waltrip.
And I'm Sammy Hagar.
And we're here to tell you that when you stop by NAPA today, you can register for a chance to ride in my number 55 Toyota.
So, Michael, what you're saying is... I could ride in 55!
Exactly.
Stop by any participating NAPA Auto Parts store today and register for your chance to win a ride in the number 55 NAPA Toyota. See store for official sweepstakes rules and complete details. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. NAPA. Get the good stuff.
Fresh Ale Turner is seasoned and seared. The salmon, tender. The steaks, thick and juicy. Your only worry, you might have to share.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life is better when together.
Go out back.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Ooh.
Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Our phone lines are open, and the second half of this hour is wide open for caller participation. Want to get your thoughts on Valerie Wilson's testimony before Henry Waxman on Capitol Hill today. And you'll probably want to comment on our conversation with Ken Roth, which is next. But to set it up, I want you to listen to this politically infused rock and roll. It's Michael Fronte and Spearhead. The song is called Yell Fire.
A revolution never come with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three piece suits and bank accounts and...
Yeah, don't worry about the torture. They're just evildoers. Worst of the worst. Yeah, you can take George W. Bush's word for it. Or can you? Joining us to talk about the alleged confession of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is Kenneth Roth. He is the director, executive director of Human Rights Watch, and they're on the web at hrw.org. Ken Roth, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for the work that you do, and I wish that there were some end in sight.
Yeah, this is not a business where we have to worry about going out of business, especially
no.
with this administration.
Yeah. Well, just 2 days ago, at about this time, I was doing this program when the news came over the Internet that the Pentagon had announced this alleged confession from the man they have long identified as the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. And my BS detector went off, and it has not been silent ever since. And, Ken, while some of what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed admitted to, or allegedly admitted to, because all we have is a Pentagon transcript to go by, some of it rings true. But some of it is just off key to begin with, that he planned the 9/11 attacks from A to Z. Now, I know he was educated in the United States, but the transcript shows a man with a very weak command of the English language, and I might imagine him saying A to Z, you know, with some British influence.
Right.
But that didn't ring true. And one of our intrepid investigators, Larissa Alexandrovna, has challenged one of the details in his alleged admissions. He claims that he was involved in a plot to blow up the Plaza Bank in Washington State. But the Plaza Bank wasn't open until 2006. And he allegedly was in our custody as early as 2003, just about 4 years ago.
Yeah, no, look, he clearly was confessing to every terrorist act under the sun. And for me, the lesson of this really is that he was relishing the role of being an enemy combatant. He loved it. He was comparing himself to George Washington. And this shows the craziness of the Bush administration's approach to the al-Qaeda terrorist suspects. Because, you know, if indeed he was responsible for 9/11, that was a horrendous crime, and he should be called a criminal. But the Bush administration, you know, has had the guy for 4 years, has not even filed charges against him. There's no actual criminal trial in sight. But instead, by calling him an enemy combatant, the Bush administration is playing exactly into the al-Qaeda narrative. That's how they want to be seen. In fact, he's doing exactly what Osama bin Laden, I'm sure, wishes that he would do.
Well, and this really is a page out of the Mousawi playbook. He was the alleged 19th or 20th hijacker who was really kind of a stooge in many respects. And in the sentencing phase of his trial, he claimed to have known Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, which, based on the facts, appears to be a stretch if it could be true in any way.
Yeah, but at least in the Mousawi case, he was prosecuted. So, you know, the Bush administration there can run around and say, you know, this guy was an awful criminal. We now know he wasn't the 20th hijacker. That was somebody else. But nonetheless, you know, he was involved in a conspiracy to commit terrorist offenses. And the Bush administration can say, there's a criminal, you know, and we've called him what he deserves to be called. But by running around and calling people enemy combatants, and frankly, the whole purpose of this is so that they can detain people without trial. And that they can use torture and not have to worry about then trying to introduce the tortured testimony at an ultimate trial, which is very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, they want to run around and call these people enemy combatants. And that, you know, as I mentioned, is exactly what they want to be called.
Yeah. This is interesting, in broken English attributed to KSM. To be or accept the tribunal as to be, I'll accept it. That I'm accepting American Constitution, American law, or whatever you're doing here.
Right. Well, I mean, whatever you're doing here is probably the good way to put it, because after all, this combatant status review tribunal, that's what he was appearing before.
Right.
Which is an odd thing, because there are three military officers who are serving as the judges. The entire proceeding is secret. He doesn't get to see all the evidence against him.
He doesn't even have a lawyer. He's got a personal representative. What's that, somebody to tie his shoes and make sure he's flossed?
Well, it's clearly not somebody who enjoys attorney-client relations. And so, you know, whatever Khalid Sheikh Mohammed says to the so-called personal representative just gets handed right over to the prosecutor. So, you know, obviously this is nothing like a trial, and it's not supposed to be. I mean, this is supposed to, you know, provide the legal justification so that the Bush administration can continue to hold this guy without a real trial. And that's the sham behind the whole thing. You know, 4 years into this, they must have evidence on the guy. They should be prosecuting him. And I think a lot of the problem is that we know that they tortured him. In fact, he alludes to the torture in the transcript. They didn't let him say it in his words. They redacted that part, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a complete misuse of the classification power, because you shouldn't be classifying evidence just because it's embarrassing or shows illegality on the part of the U.S. government. But that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, at one point, the judge, you know, after sort of a long segment in which whatever Khalid Sheikh Mohammed said, you know, clearly complaining about the CIA's treatment of him, that's all redacted out. And the judge then says, oh, so, you know, what you were calling torture. And so in the judge's words, we have a reference to torture. Now, and we know from other sources that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was subjected to so-called waterboarding. Now, you know, that itself is a euphemism.
Excuse me, they even tell us that he's kind of a champion waterboard guy because he could hold his breath longer than the average detainee.
Yes, but you know, you're talking about, you know, 2.5 minutes, so
mm-hmm.
let's not get too excited about this. And this is, you know, essentially mock execution by drowning. You know, because when you're being waterboarded, you're not able to breathe, and you have no idea whether they're ever going to let you breathe.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you know, you're about to die.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, classic torture. That's what they did to the guy. He, you know, said all kinds of things. In fact, one of the interesting things about the transcript is that he's worried that under torture, he was implicating people who had nothing to do with anything. And indeed, I think part of why he was taking credit for all these different terrorist acts, I mean, part of it may just, you know, be bravado, but part of it is also an effort to protect others, because if he's claiming credit, then it's harder to prosecute somebody else. And indeed,
mm-hmm.
he shows genuine concern to a number of just the low-level Afghans who were clearly picked up because somebody wanted the $10,000 bounty that the U.S. government was offering at the time. And he's, you know, spent time with some of these people at Guantanamo now and realizes that they're nobodies. They had nothing to do with any kind of terrorist plot.
Well, and here's a quote. He says, so when we say we are enemy combatant, that right. So he's referring to himself and acknowledging that he accepts that term. Again, this is according to the Pentagon. We are. But I'm asking you again to be fair with many detainees which are not enemy combatant, because many of them have been unjustly arrested. Many, not one or two or three. Because the definition, you which wrote, even from my view, it is not fair.
Right. And essentially, I mean, we know all along that a lot of people are there, you know, only because they were essentially sold to the CIA. And then there's a kind of cover your behind phenomenon that takes over, which is that, you know, nobody wants to be responsible for releasing somebody who may then turn out to have been a terrorist. And so, I mean, until they can definitively prove that somebody's innocent, they'll keep them, even if it's just some low-level schmuck who did nothing more than to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, we're talking with Ken Roth, Executive Director of Human Rights Watch. Their website is hrw.org. He's with us for another segment, so if you have a question or comment, give us a call, and we'll take your call at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. Now, Ken, one of the other things that Human Rights Watch has pointed out is that there are reports that the children of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed were held by American authorities, possibly mistreated, and used as a bargaining chip. It's a terrorist tactic, right, to try to force this guy to cough up information. We're going to hurt your kids if you don't tell us.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. It's the lowest of the low in terms of, you know, interrogation approaches. There was indications that this had happened already from Ron Susskind's excellent book. Again, it's very hard to get firsthand information on this, but Khalid Sheikh Mohammed does allude to the treatment of his children in the transcript that the Pentagon has released. And, you know, whether the U.S. threatened them with torture or worse, or what they did, we don't yet know. But the idea of, you know, clearly something happened in which they were held and somehow the fact of their detention was used to try to pressure Mohammed to reveal whatever he knew, that's despicable.
It is, and it's un-American. I'm just embarrassed that these things have happened allegedly in our names. We're going to take a break and return with Ken Roth. Again, the Human Rights website is hrw.org. Human Rights Watch is the organization. And if you have a question or comment, we'll go to the phones in the next segment. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
A bientôt. Yes, indeed, folks. Happy Friday, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest and tell you that we do have a problem in Lexington Hills, Old Santa Cruz Highway at Melody Lane. Motorcycle went off the roadway and on the right shoulder. Minor injuries reported. CHP, in fact, on scenes. Also want to tell you about Live Oak, 17th Avenue, Rodriguez Street. Car and a motorcycle involved in a crash. CHP is there. Santa Cruz looks like Brand Caforte at Mystery Spot Road. A vehicle went off the road, landed on its roof into a ditch, and CHP and fire department are arriving on scene there. Boulder Creek, Coast Road and Highway 1. A vehicle hit a guardrail on the right shoulder. We have a tow truck en route. And get spring break savings up to 20% with rates starting at just $39 when you book by April 2nd. Call 800-3-HOTELS or Seaside for offer details. Hotels.com. We know hotels inside and out. That's traffic on KRXM.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 21 minutes after the hour. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend. I know lots of people are going to play Irish, and hope you have a great time doing it. We're featuring Irish rock bumper music on the show today. This is Thin Lizzy. The boys are back in town.
Guess who just got back today?
And we continue our conversation now with Ken Roth, Executive Director of Human Rights Watch. They do a lot of great work all over the world. Today we're focused on the U.S. situation with the detainees, and notably this
confession, and I put that in quotes, that was released by the White House at a time when they have a great interest in distracting us from their other problems. The U.S. attorney flap, the verdict in the Scooter Libby trial, the resistance by Congress to the president's escalation of the war in Iraq, and there are many other fronts where the administration is on the defensive, and I see this as a diversionary tactic, at least in the timing of it. And Ken Roth, do you think there's been adequate skepticism about the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed tribunal and the resulting transcript issued by the Pentagon as far as you've seen in the American media?
Well, you know, the media seems to be taking what's printed there mostly at face value. And you know, there were a couple of senators present, so I doubt that what is written down deviates all that much from what he said. The big question is the gaps. And you know, the gaps are referenced, and in the context you can tell that the gaps are referring to his torture. But it's really, you know, it's despicable, one, that the torture would happen, two, that the Bush administration would use, you know, this official secrecy to try to cover it up. You know, they say, oh, well, we can't let the terrorists know the interrogation methods we're going to use against them.
Right.
You know, that's fair enough if you're talking about legitimate interrogation methods. But if you're talking about waterboarding, which, of course, has been all over the press anyhow, so it's hardly a surprise, the only real reason not to disclose it is the fear of the political embarrassment and the potential prosecution, because to use waterboarding is a crime.
Mm-hmm. Jerry joins us from Santa Cruz. Thanks for your call, Jerry. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Ken Roth.
Hi, I just turned the radio on, so I haven't heard the whole discussion, but the part that I did hear coming on as a new listener or a recent listener is that I'm just a little bit surprised. It sounds like we're sympathizing with this guy that does these atrocities to us, and I'm just having a real hard time understanding that. I mean, I understand the reasons why you think it's being done, and I understand. I don't agree that torture is correct or any of that. But
well, and
just,
Jerry, on that,
sounds like they're sympathizing,
Jerry,
for him, and I just can't believe it.
Well, Jerry, I'm sorry. The victims here are the citizens of the United States, because we cannot trust the information our government is giving us. And because this man was tortured, I have to say that at this point, I cannot accept at face value what the Pentagon wants us to believe. And would you put this in context with the way that political diversions have been created using the Homeland Security alert system for, you know, elections and other times when they wanted to distract us? I feel that the timing of this is highly suspect and that the whole process is fundamentally un-American.
Yeah, well, I can appreciate that view, but I still think it needs to be acknowledged within your comments here what this man did.
Yeah, I think
and what he did to our United States.
All right, let's
our United States. And
let's give Ken Roth a comment. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, well, obviously the caller missed the beginning of the program, but the you know, what I was trying to stress then is that I want this guy prosecuted. If he did what he's alleged to have done, which is to be the mastermind of 9/11 and various other atrocities, those are horrendous crimes, and he should be prosecuted. The problem is that the Bush administration, you know, having tortured him, is going to have a hard time prosecuting him because most of the evidence is going to be the fruit of that torture and would be suppressed in any kind of fair trial.
And, Jerry, the point here is that these processes are undermining our own system of government and the credibility of it. And, you know, I make no defense of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, what he intended to do or what he says he did, even if some of it is untrue. My issue is with our government and the manner in which they're operating.
Well, and maybe you acknowledged that in the beginning of the program, but for people that come on the program, whatever their political viewpoint is, I think it needs to be real clearly made what you just said a moment ago, that you guys do want this man prosecuted, because we cannot forget, no matter what your view of Bush or the administration, we can't forget if this guy's guilty for what he did, he needs to be prosecuted.
All right, Jerry, thank you for your call. Now to Dave in Humboldt. Hello, Dave, you're on the air with Peter B. and Ken Roth.
Hey, Peter B. and Ken Roth. The fact is that I have to weigh, from my own knowledge of this, is that when was the last time this administration provided us factual or credible statements on anything? There was that one point of the terrorists are out to harm us, and so are we. But other than that, I don't think there's been a word of truth come forth. The other thing is, when they did the signing statement, keeping torture in, they knew, as we know, as you both know, and I, that torture is not a way you get at the truth. Torture is a way you get people to confess to whatever you want them to confess to. So, yes, he's claiming he sank the Titanic and he alone caused 9-1-1. All of this is totally... There's no truth comes from this administration. How can we even consider it possible?
All right, Ken, what's your reaction?
Well, I think the caller is right in that, this is an administration that likes to cherry-pick the facts. We saw that in Iraq. We see that in the way it selectively has released the transcript. I think what a lot of people don't realize is that, because of the extensive use of torture, that even the trials in Guantanamo that are being proposed, and so far Khalid Sheikh Mohammed hasn't even been criminally charged, but a handful of other people have, rather than giving them ordinary trials with due process, the kind of thing that Americans could be proud of, instead the administration is proposing these dumbed-down military commissions, the purpose of which is to allow the introduction of evidence that has come from coercion. Now, those are inherently unreliable trials, but this is what the administration is putting forward, and the result is going to be, going back to the prior caller's comment, that when these kind of dumbed-down trials happen, the unfairness of the trials are going to become the issue rather than the horrendous crimes that the suspects are alleged to have committed.
It's the Enron approach to criminal justice. We're hiding our losses offshore. Ken, thanks for joining us again. Thanks for all the work you do.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Kenneth
Bye-bye.
Roth from HRW.org. That's HumanRightsWatch.org. The next half hour, wide open for your phone calls. Tell me your reaction about the alleged confession of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and also the powerful testimony from Valerie Plame Wilson on Capitol Hill today. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. Grab one now, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Valerie Plame, Under Oath. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Valerie Plame, America's most famous secret agent, testified under oath in Congress today. Democrats tried to show that leaking her identity was an egregious betrayal done for political purposes. Representative Paul Hodes displayed a chart showing 20 instances where various Bush administration officials leaked her identity.
Is there any circumstance that you can think of that would justify leaking the name of an undercover agent?
No, Congressman.
Under Republican questioning, she admitted she didn't know whether those officials knew she was covert and was never herself told she was the type of covert agent whose identity it would be a crime to disclose.
No, no one told me that. And
how about after the disclosure? Did anyone then say, gee, you were designated under the act, this should not have happened? Did anybody in the CIA tell you at that point?
No.
But later she said that whether her outing was criminal or not, it should not have happened.
I know I'm here under oath, and I'm here to say that I was a covert officer of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Whether Valerie Plame was covert, undercover, or classified, and whether or not this was a criminal act, all of us out here are wondering why. When her husband challenged the president's claim that Saddam Hussein was seeking uranium, why did so many White House officials feel they had to swing into action? There were certainly plenty of other people criticizing the Iraq operation. It begins to look like more than just damage control. It begins to look like someone wanted to teach a certain CIA agent a lesson.
Have there been in the past leaks of an agent's identity?
None that I'm aware of by their very own government.
novice.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
There was this man who almost learned to walk at a rehab center that almost got built by people who almost gave. Almost gave. How good is almost giving? About as good as almost walking. As generous a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open to talk to you right now. 888-5-PETER-B. You can call on any subject with any point of view from anywhere within the sound of my voice, including the capital city of Sacramento, where once again we're covering today for Christine Kraft. Got an email from her. She's feeling better and hopes to be fully recovered over the weekend. And we've dipped into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives to pull out some of my favorite Irish rock and roll. That's U2 from one of the early albums called I Will Follow. Boy was the name of the LP. And I remember the first time I saw U2, they were the opening act at the Warfield Theater in San Francisco for a hot guy of the moment named Garland Jeffries, who's since been lost and forgotten. And U2 just blew him off the stage. And, gosh, I've gotten to see Bono and the gang six or seven times since then. I love what they do. And happy to celebrate the Blarney with you here. And I want to dedicate today's program to my dad, who taught me what it meant to be an Irish-American. He had the Irish, including the nasty temper. And he would have been 84 this Sunday. I could always remember his birthday because it's the day after St. Patrick's Day. If you want to join the conversation, my switchboard's open for you right now for the next half hour. Brad Friedman's going to join us in the final hour, as he usually does on Friday. We'll talk about issues of election integrity and see where it goes from there. First up, we have, I've got to check my screen here because it's changed now. Daniel in Santa Cruz. Thanks, Daniel. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Peter B. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that. You just do that. You just do that to tweet me, don't you?
Maybe you can confirm this, that there were about 3,000 people that were abducted by the CIA under the Extraordinary Rendition Program.
We don't know the exact number of individuals. We have been able to identify some number of flights, particularly those that crossed European airspace without, at least without overt permission.
Yeah, this is coming from Nemesis by Chalmers Johnson. Mm-hmm. But he also talks about how this began well before Bush, and Clinton authorized the process, and that it's quite probable that 9/11 is a result of the wrath of those people who resent the program.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard that?
Well, I read Nemesis, and we interviewed Chalmers Johnson, I think, about 3 weeks ago on the program.
Yeah.
And I accept his reporting.
Setting ourselves up for the attack.
Well, I do not support rendition in any manner. I think it's simply barbaric, and the fact that you use jets to do it makes it high-tech, but no less barbaric in my view.
Yeah, and how surprising that somebody should retaliate against us for treating their fellow citizens with this kind of behavior.
Well, this is one of the great contributions that Chalmers Johnson has made, explaining to people the concept of blowback. And people think of blowback as, oh, something we know about has produced a reaction. But what he's really referring to are these covert activities that have occurred in every presidency that we never know about. And yet they occur. People on other sides of the world observe them and blame the United States, sometimes incorrectly. But because all of this is, cloaked in the darkness of spooks and black ops, we don't know the events that our government put in motion that produce the reactions such as the repeated attempts to blow up the World Trade Center.
Exactly, and so I was going to talk to you yesterday because you were talking about the Iran issue, and I was going to bring up the possibility that there's a lot going on, and Iran's a smokescreen for regime change in someplace, possibly Venezuela. We don't know what the CIA is up to, so we have to be ever vigilant.
Well, I think you're right about that, and Venezuela is a place we attempted a coup before.
Right.
And given the overt comments of the Bush administration, we wouldn't be surprised, really, if something like that happened again. Daniel, thanks for your call.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate having you listening. Now to Matt in Sacramento. Thanks for your call. You're on the air.
First off, great guest. You should be on PBS instead of McNeil Alabama.
okay, thanks. I'll
well, you're
it.
Connected or something. Anyway, I really want to make the point that if we keep using this word terror, that implies that we, as a country, are afraid. And where's this last line of the Star-Spangled Banner about home of the brave? Well, you can drop that because you can put the home of the terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep using their language, we're play by their rules, and we're going to lose every time.
Well, Matt, you make a very powerful point.
And the trouble is the progressive movement, which I'm lately joining,
mm-hmm.
simply because I'm so disgusted with what I thought was a decent government, well, anyway.
Yeah.
And so progressive to me simply means out of this mess,
mm-hmm.
and not democratic in the sense of the Democratic Party with a big D. So here's my issue is why don't people, like you, because you do have a large audience, quit using the word terrorism and start using the words like gangsterism? This is basically Al Capone and a gang.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the mafia. And if we keep doing it the way they want us to, then you get what you start creating, which is this idea of terror. In a country that was so brave in World War II, we never used the word terror against the Japanese or the Germans.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I will... Hold on, let me make a comment. I plead guilty, at least partly. I try to be very conscious of the language I use and what we call
like
the frames...
This is a war instead of occupation.
What we call the frames
play
of,
their
of
game.
The discussion.
It's stupid.
Okay, let's have a conversation here. Can I finish?
Yeah, sure.
My point is that we do become infected with the language that is drummed into us, starting with the talking points of the Republican Party, funneled through the media, and then repeated over and over again. I still choke on the term homeland security.
Absolutely.
And I rarely refer to anything we're doing as a war on terror. I think
well,
that is an empty phrase that only advances mistaken notions.
Exactly right.
But
I have to
tell you, Matt, if I listen back to a tape of today's show, I could probably catch myself four or five times drifting into language that I don't consciously embrace. But when you're doing an unscripted talk show like this, it just flows.
I wasn't picking on you.
No, and I don't feel picked on, but I'm happy to acknowledge that you are right and that I am, at least occasionally, responsible for that kind of language.
Well, we all need to be reminded, a little slap on the hand. And I do it everywhere I go. I will not call it a war. I will not call it terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Very good, sir.
And we're playing their game, and I hate playing their game because they're going to win if we do it.
Thank you, Matt.
Anyway, well, God bless you. Take care.
Appreciate the call. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join this conversation. 888-573-8372. Now to Peter V. in Monterey or Salinas, wherever he happens to be today.
Luck of the Irish to you, Peter, me lad.
Thank you so much.
Well, Peter, you can tell the level of panic at the White House by the corporate media news alert. We've bypassed the AID alert, which are animals in danger, like the horse Barbaro. We've even bypassed BID, blondes in danger, like Natalie Holloway and Anna Nicole.
Right.
We are now up to CID, Peter, children in danger. In case your listeners weren't aware, the news alert is that foreign operatives have infiltrated elementary school bus driver jobs.
Really?
Children are in danger, Peter. I wish you would report that.
Well, can you tell us where, and do you have a suspect?
They are nonspecific, non-confirmative, and as best I can tell, it's widespread and possibly pandemic.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how to proceed with this disclosure here, Peter, because I have been worried about school bus drivers for a long time. Mr. Speaks was the guy who drove my school bus, and this was not court-ordered busing, I'll underscore that. He scared the hell out of me. One day he actually amputated his little finger while he was driving the school bus. He had a hangnail or something, and it was bothering him. And so my experience with school bus drivers is a little jaded, and I'm kind of suggestible about what you're reporting here.
Oh, Peter, I'm going to suggest a lager of Guinness for you this afternoon to get over that trauma. Again, have a good weekend, Peter. Thank you for the good work you do.
All right, my pleasure. Julie in Sacramento, thanks for your call. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Julie.
I'm going to try to stay very, very calm.
Okay.
Because you're alive.
Yes, I am. I'm live on the radio right now, en vivo, en español.
And you're not on a deadline at night that I used to stay up, and somehow I think I would sleep through the part that said, this is recorded. I'm trying to call you, Peter. But anyway, I have a couple of things that I would like to discuss with you.
Go right ahead.
Okay, on the first one, you have some brand new listeners from Sacramento High Schools and Sacramento City College, at least one of the deans from there, and we have students from the Sacramento City College Cosmetology Department, especially one that's Tanya, that just designed and created my new asexual haircut.
Wow, Tanya, you go.
And she took pictures so that when I come back, she will redo it for me.
Now, if you have an asexual haircut,
you can't tell whether I'm pregnant. You can't tell whether I'm gay. You can't tell whether I'm a lesbian. You can't tell whether I'm heterosexual.
Hmm.
Just me.
Can you send me a picture of that? I'm curious.
I will get to Tanya and see if she can email it to you.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and the other one was, we need to know how we can replace you with all the KSAC dead air up here after Stephanie.
Uh-huh.
And bring you back to the Sacramento airwaves.
Well, I leave that to the higher powers. If you want to contact the radio station and make the case, let's see what happens. But
okay.
I'm available. I'll put it that way, and I'm eager.
Oh, I'll take you anytime.
Okay.
And finally, Peter, I would like to explain to the audience how the Posse Comitata Law Act mm-hmm. affects me.
Okay.
Before October of last year, if I had been activated to go back into the military as an RM,
mm-hmm.
If I was given an order to train my gun on an American citizen, I would have the ability to say, no, I will not train my gun on an American citizen. In October of last year, 2006, Bush did away with them. Should I be activated back to active duty, I will have no recourse should I be ordered or be given the order, and I can give the order to shoot and kill mm-hmm. an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it affects me, because I do not want to be ordered to kill anybody. especially an American citizen.
Well, Julie, I'm glad you raised that, because there are many people who understand that there was a clause in a bill to that effect, and they think it's got to be benign. It must have been, you know, just for some reason so that they could transfer water or vehicles from the National Guard to the Pentagon. You know, I'm just making that up, but you know what I mean. But we've seen in an explicit way in the revelatory emails between Karl Rove and Harriet Myers and Kyle Sampson over at the Justice Department that they knew that they had inserted this clause into the Patriot Act renewal that permitted the president to appoint U.S. attorneys without Senate confirmation. And in the back and forth in those emails, they said, hey, we've got it. We ought to use it. And now they've got this repeal of posse comitatus. Are they going to use it? Do they feel they ought to just because they have it, it's neat, and they're drunk on power? Well, I'm concerned.
Well,
and it's something that we have to remain vigilant about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very concerned because one of the programs on Channel 13 had Mary Catherine Bowl, and one of the series was on, episode was on the Posse Comitatus Act.
Yeah. I got to run to a break,
Bye.
Julie. Thanks
Bye.
For your call. I'm live. In Sacramento today, once again, we're sitting in for Christine Kraft. If you want to join in the conversation, I've got lines open, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at traffic and give you the very latest. We're going to mention that we do have a problem working in Santa Cruz. This would be Brand Caforte at Mystery Spot. A vehicle went off the roadway, landed on its roof in a ditch. We have paramedics and fire department on scene along with CHP. Also want to mention Live Oak, 17th Avenue at Rodriguez Street. A car and a motorcycle involved in the crash. Boulder Creek Coast Road at Highway 1. A vehicle hit a guardrail on the right shoulder. Finally, a tow truck has arrived on scene. And this report is brought to you by the folks from Dodge, your Dodge dealers. It's National Truck Month at your Dodge dealer, where you can get up to $5,000 cash allowance on the Dodge Ram Plus. Ask your dealer for details on the Hemi upgrade on some of America's hottest trucks. See your Dodge dealer today. That's traffic at KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. These would be the young Dubliners.
The dogs on the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hot there and turn her down the rocky road all the way.
May I have this river dance?
To Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
The rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm examining my garb and realize that tomorrow is the official St. Patrick's Day. But I have a black shirt on and black jeans, black socks. Oh, yes, the green thong. I forgot. Triple 85 Peter B. If you'd like to call in and talk with us about anything going on, if you saw the Valerie Plame testimony before Congressman Waxman this morning, I welcome your calls. You want to talk about our discussion with Ken Roth of Human Rights Watch about the alleged confession from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the torture that preceded it, which in my view invalidates it because it wouldn't be acceptable in a court of law. And I'm not in denial here. I know Jerry from Santa Cruz is worried that somehow I think Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is a victim here. Well, I think that he is a victim of unconstitutional detention, interrogation, and the proceedings against him are a kangaroo court. I don't for a moment condone his intentions or the actions that he's confessed to, some of which certainly are true. And I don't tend to diminish or undermine that. But I'm focused on the behavior of the Bush administration and what it means to the future of our country and our rights as American citizens. Because the Military Commissions Act that Bush signed in October permits him to designate anyone an unlawful enemy combatant and treat him just like KSM. That's un-American. It's immoral. And I will always speak out against it. Let me know your thoughts at 888-5 Peter B. Next on line two, it's Ron in Davis. Ron, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, good to talk to you again. Yeah, there's so many areas I'd like to jump into, that last one especially, but I want to get back to what I think it was Matt from Sacramento mentioned about not referring to this as terrorism or a war or what we're undertaking right now. Now, there's a very key reason for that. I've been staring at the Constitution for years right now, in particular two clauses. In the legislative Article 1, the Congress, as you know, has the power to declare war, also to be responsible for captures on land and sea. Anybody can just turn to that and see that. It's Section 8, Article 11. Now, the other section, the other article, which I'm absolutely fascinated with, and I find almost no one truly understands this, and we're being hoodwinked, bamboozled, as Malcolm X used to say. This is how the wording goes, lo and behold, I pick up a book by a known scholar, Lewis Fisher, and he basically says the same thing as I've been mumbling. Under Section 2, Clause 1, it says, quote, "The President shall be Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy of the United States and of the militia of the several states when called into the actual service of the United States." Now, Congress does the calling, not the President. So that means if you just pull out the Constitution and look at it, you will come to the conclusion that Bush, in fact, is not the commander-in-chief unless Congress has declared war.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he has to call him. He gets it over on us. He keeps saying, "I'm wartime president." it's a war against terrorism. You may as well have a war against higher prices. I mean, that's an abstraction.
Yes.
So we are being hoodwinked. There's a massive constitutional crisis occurring right now. I just simply dare anybody in, you know, from the Pacific to the Atlantic, just go to the Constitution, read what it says, scratch your head, and you ask yourself if Bush is actually commander-in-chief unless Congress has declared war. I mean, if he can get it over on you and convince you that he is commander-in-chief, mm-hmm. and everybody thinks he is.
Right. No, he has made sweeping claims of presidential power.
No way. That's unconstitutional.
He has also claimed powers without actually articulating them and just basically said, I dare you to catch me and do something about it.
Yep. And you see what's been happening, obviously, for the last 6 years, in other words, 2000 through 2006, now the Congress is starting to get a little bit of spine. They never called them on it because they were all his associates and loyalists, and you know, they're all a bunch of neocons running around whispering in the ears of these nasty Republicans in Congress.
Yeah.
So Congress, actually, we should say Bush/Congress for the last 6 years. Because Congress has actually been breaking the law consistently.
They have abdicated their responsibilities.
Absolutely.
Repeatedly.
And those aren't just powers, by the way.
Yeah.
Those are laws. Those are supreme laws. Mm-hmm. Nothing is greater or can be transcended. Those laws, that cannot be transcended. And that's it. They're actually breaking the laws. People don't understand it. They think, they're just, it's politicians. It'll be politics. He's not commander-in-chief. Congress has broken laws.
Thanks for making that point. I really appreciate it. If you look at the calendar, you may note that this is March 16th. 2007. 4 years ago tonight, we began the shock and awe aerial bombardment of Iraq. And there are so many other things going on, I think people are distracted from this ignoble anniversary. But just pause a moment and ask yourself what this war has gotten us. Are you safer? Is the world a better place? I don't think so. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll continue after the news break. Brad Friedman will join us next.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Tom Foti. Publicly, President Bush is standing behind his longtime friend, now Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Behind the scenes, sources tell CBS News, there could be a different story. Here is CBS News Chief White House Correspondent Jim Axelrod.
Republicans close to the White House tell CBS News the president is in, quote, his usual posture, pugnacious, that no one's going to tell him who to fire. But sources also say it is now inevitable Gonzalez will be fired.
As for the official back and forth between the White House and Congress about what is behind this, the firings of eight federal prosecutors, the White House says it needs more time to decide whether key presidential advisors will testify. Senate Democrats are talking about issuing subpoenas for some. And this late word from the Justice Department, it says all of the department documents requested by Congress about the firings will be sent there on Monday. There were anti-war demonstrators and echoes from an earlier administration controversy on Capitol Hill, too, as a House committee heard from former CIA operative Valerie Plame Wilson. She used to have a secret job until her husband publicly questioned Bush administration Iraq claims used to justify the invasion to oust Saddam Hussein. CBS News Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
In testimony to Congress, Wilson said she had a dangerous and sensitive job as a covert CIA officer and never dreamed her own government would risk the lives of other spies by blowing her cover.
My name and identity were carelessly and recklessly abused by senior government officials in both the White House and the State Department.
They were trying to discredit a report from her husband, a former ambassador, that was undercutting the false claim that Iraq was building nuclear weapons. She said no one from the president on down has ever apologized to her for the leak. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Lots of canceled and delayed flights up and down the East Coast.
We're going to, you know, pack it up and then head out, figure out what to do, go to a diner for a bit.
A late blast of winter has airlines scrambling big time. About 3 out of every 4 JetBlue flights scrub, mostly around New York City. Other airlines with cancellations include American, United, Delta, and Continental. Among other affected airports, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Albany, and Boston. Snow and ice have made some road travel difficult as well. The storm blamed for at least 2 deaths in traffic accidents in Pennsylvania. It also forced school cancellations throughout the Northeast. 3 New York City police officers have been indicted in the shooting death of a would-be bridegroom who was cut down by dozens of police bullets on his wedding day. He will not be back in the studio tonight, but CNN's Larry King is expected back on Monday. King now recuperating from surgery to clear a major artery that supplies blood to the head. Larry King has had several related medical procedures through the years, including a quintuple bypass heart operation in 1987. It was a mixed Friday on Wall Street. Most indexes were down, but gainers outnumbered losers on the New York Stock Exchange. The Dow was down 49 points. The Nasdaq was down 6. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's great news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants, just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Brenda Coates is a real GEICO customer, not a paid celebrity. So to help tell her story, we hired Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Last year, I was rear-ended by a GEICO customer.
I was hit in the rear.
First thought in my mind was about that funny lizard.
Lizard licks his eyeball.
I was so impressed with how they handled my claim, I switched.
I hope I'll never get hit in the rear again.
GEICO. Real service, real savings.
A natural gas leak meant some scary moments with students evacuated from a building at Seattle Center.
The fire department sent what they call a mass casualty response to Seattle Center, but thankfully it was much less serious than all that. Deputy Fire Chief Jim Fossey says a desktop natural gas valve in a classroom laboratory here was opened up.
I was also told that in an effort to shut that down, the valve was turned the wrong way, which opened it up further and released even more gas into the room.
About 2 dozen students at this alternative high school were treated for nausea and dizziness. Tim Hake for CBS News, Seattle.
Better check the labels on the dinner for Spot, Fido, and Kitty. 60 million containers of cat and dog food store brands sold at Walmart, Safeway, Kroger, PetSmart, and other retailers being recalled by Menu Foods. The pet food maker says there have been reports of dogs and cats suffering kidney failure after eating the food. I'm Tom Foti, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas' newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-71-LUCKY. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-71-LUCKY for all the exciting details. That's 866-71-LUCKY. Call now.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Are you wearing the green? Are you drinking the green? Are you spending the green?
When I passed you in the doorway, well, you took me with a glance. I should have took that last bus home, but I asked you for a dance. Now we go steady to the pictures. I always get chocolate stains on my pants. And my father, he's going crazy. He says I'm living in a trance. But I'm dancing in the moonlight.
Yeah, we're spinning Irish rock and roll as our bumper music on the Peter B. Collins Show today. And this, of course, is another great screaming song from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives. Phil Lynott and Thin Lizzy. It's called Dancing in the Moonlight. And here's a guy who's wearing the green 365 days a year. It's right there up on his website, Brad O. Friedman from bradblog.com. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Peter, how are you? It's your national holiday, isn't it?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow, well, congratulations. You'll have a lot to celebrate after, after this week.
It's been quite a week, just one big story after another. And I am looking forward to a little downtime to recover. And I'm just going to sit back and watch everybody else. The amateurs play Irish over the weekend. I'll be staying off the roads and out of trouble. But it is a wonderful way to celebrate one's heritage. But let's get down to business here. The blog has been so active. I was just scrolling through, and in the last 2 days, you've been extremely busy there at Brad Blog World HQ.
Yes, we have indeed. And so I'm glad you've been scrolling through, because you're going to have to remind me what the hell we reported on this week. It's been such an avalanche.
Well, let's start off with Henry Waxman calling Valerie Plame Wilson to the Hill. Pat Fitzgerald didn't show up. Apparently, he had some St. Patrick's Day events already booked on his schedule. But it was very interesting for many Americans to the first time see and hear her voice. We've seen pictures of her, the JAG shot in Vanity Fair with her husband Joe, and she really was quite impressive, a beautiful woman, but her demeanor and her clear commitment to her work and her experience, I think that all really came through in her testimony.
Oh, it certainly did. And frankly, what I was pleased about was she eviscerated, frankly, the phony arguments that have been out there from the right wing, from Victoria Tensing in particular, who testified later in the day and I think really fell apart. But she eviscerated this notion that she was not covert. She was covert. She eviscerated the notion that she had not served overseas in the 5 years prior to her outing. She had served overseas. She eviscerated the idea that she had sent her husband, Joe Wilson, to Niger. She hadn't. She had nothing to do with it. She would not have the authority to do so. And finally, she got to speak directly to those points in no uncertain terms. And you got to have Henry Waxman and the others there confirming that the director of the CIA, General Hayden, had told him just before the hearing that, yes, in fact, Valerie Plame Wilson was a covert operative. It's amazing this many years later that we're still even need to discuss this, because it's been reported so many ways, from so many folks.
You guys is trying to confuse me with the facts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you, I've been enjoying, just before I came on the air here, I was scrolling through some of the open thread over at the Free Republic, the wacko kook right-wing site, and they are beside themselves. They don't know what the hell is going on. As a matter of fact, one of them I saw wrote, they're all saying that she's a liar, this and that, and, you know, and then as more information is coming out throughout the hearings, finally, one person writes that she must be totally, she must be completely lying, either that or everything that we have read by Feldman and Tensing have been lies. And that's the first note when I think reality begins to kick in for these right-wingers. Yes, she has been covert this whole time. It was an extraordinary breach of national security, as she testified to, as other testified to, throughout the day, that she was outed like that. Remember, yeah. She also spoke directly to what she did at the CIA. She was a covert operative monitoring WMD going in and out of Iraq at a time of war. And the fact that the White House outed her, the first time in the history of this government that our own government has outed a CIA operative, was just astounding, I thought.
Yeah. Interesting, one exchange that I saw, and I wasn't able to watch the entire proceeding, but it was there were only two Republicans there. One was Davis, the ranking member, and the other, frankly, I can't remember his name, but he has a Southern accent. And he first asked her what political affiliation Joe Wilson acknowledges. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, you know, he comes from a history of a Republican family, but I think now he's a Democrat.
Yes.
And then he asked, and you, what's your political party? And at first she seemed a little deer in the headlightish. She was trying to figure out whether she really ought to take the bait. And it was a McCarthy-esque question, in my view. But she finally did say, well, I'm a Democrat. Now, I wish she'd given a little more history, because Joe Wilson was appointed by Bush 1 and also made a campaign contribution to George W. Bush in 2000. So he was a Republican until the Iraq War, based on false pretenses that he knew something about. And that's what, in my view, converted him to become an opponent first of the Bush administration and then kind of by default a supporter of John Kerry in 2004.
And let's not forget that he was the acting ambassador.
Yeah, when April Glaspie took a powder, he was in charge of the embassy in Baghdad, and he, you know, stood mano a mano with Saddam when Saddam was threatening to use Americans as human shields. You remember that term?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Oh, he probably saved a lot of lives there. He was the guy who those Americans and British, I think, were kept in that embassy and not allowed to leave the country at the beginning of the war, and he was the charge d'affaires of that embassy under George W. Bush, which makes it all the more incredible later on, when Cheney has since said, I didn't know the man, I never met the man.
Yeah, right.
Cheney was the defense secretary during that time. He didn't know the man who was protecting the human shields at the Iraqi embassy. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, it doesn't pass the smell test. Now, one other thing that she mentioned that I thought was a juicy little tidbit was, as some people will recall, one of the first articles that included Joe Wilson's information but did not mention him was an op-ed piece in roughly June of 2003 by Nicholas Kristof of the New York Times. And she was asked, Ms. Wilson was asked today about, you know, how that transpired. She said, well, there was a breakfast, and my husband went with Mr. and Mrs. Kristof. And she was asked, were you there? And she said, well, I stopped by for a minute and I said hi, but I didn't answer any questions. Well, what that raises for me is, and we may never know these things, but I just wonder what kind of pillow talk occurred between Joe Wilson and his CIA covert operative wife, because she was working on what turned out to be the phony claims of weapons of mass destruction held by Saddam Hussein. And at some point, she had to realize that Bush intentionally lied about this. And did she encourage Joe to go public with this as a way of raising the issue? Because she, of course, was bound by her secrecy agreements at the CIA. She couldn't go public with that. But was there any even, you know, winks and nods, or, you know, if I kiss your left ear, it means I want you to write an op-ed for the New York Times?
Well, you know, I don't even think he needed her to do that for him, because, in fact, he had firsthand knowledge that, in fact, when George W. Bush said in the his infamous 16 words that Saddam was trying to buy yellow cake from uranium, from Niger, he knew, in fact, that that was wrong. He didn't even have to hear it from her. And, in fact, his the only thing his editorial in the New York Times, what I didn't find in Africa, the only thing it essentially said was, you know, I went, I checked it out, this specific story does not add up. You know, I from everything that I can tell, she took her job damn seriously, and I think you may have had Larry Johnson on before, one of her school CIA classmates.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Johnson, Jim Marcinkowski, former CIA covert agents. You can tell, by the way, they have dealt with this. They have been outraged from the get-go, and I believe they were both of those guys were Republicans. They have been outraged from the get-go about this. They knew how seriously Valerie took her job. They took it seriously as well, and they have been jumping down, running around with their hair on fire, you know, trying to counter the spin that's been out there, and in fact, in the mainstream media. You know, Washington Post allowed Victoria Tensing to run that same discredited nonsense just a week or two ago.
Well, and that was published as the Libby jury was starting its deliberations. The timing of that was so improper, in my view.
Yes. Well, no question about it. And it was charged that it was jury tampering. Apparently, that didn't work. Some good news, though, and we can cover it in a bit. The biggest, I think, revelation of the hearings was still to come after Valerie Plame's testimony when a White House security officer.
Now, have you ever heard of James Nodell before?
I had not before, but boy, I have now. I mean, he, as far as I'm concerned, he had the big headlines. But let me give you 2 points that I want to make sure that we hit before you go to a break here.
All right, then I'm going to stop the music. You got 10 seconds.
Okay.
Go.
Well, Waxman opened by quoting George Bush's father, saying, "I have nothing but contempt and anger for those who expose the names of our sources. They are, in my view, the most insidious of traitors." I'll pick up the rest on the other side.
All right, that's a pro. Brad Friedman with us. Your calls and comments are welcome. We'll talk about some voting integrity issues as the hour rolls on. But you can join this conversation now toll free 888-5-PETER-B 888-573-8372 or drop me an email peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? more people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Good evening, everybody. Let's take a look at the very latest. Get you home safely. TGIF, by the way. And let's talk about Santa Clara, Central Expressway at De La Cruz. Two-vehicle crash reported there. Let's move on over to Monterey, northbound 1 at Camino Aguajito. We have a crash on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this particular one. Other than that, we're looking pretty good. Northbound and southbound 17 on the summit there, looking outstanding. Santa Cruz, quick reminder that Highway 1 southbound ramp to Morrissey Boulevard, the on-ramp there. The on- and off-ramps close 24 hours a day for road work through May 1st. Want to mention that it appears that southbound 1 a little bit slow between Monterey and Carmel. Well, this report brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants. So where can you find them? Welch's 100% Grape Juice.
You now on the Peter B. Collins Show, getting you ready for the St. Patty's Day weekend with some of my favorite Irish rock and roll. This is U2 from Zooropa, and it's called Lemon. And I'll let them groove in the background here. I got an email in from Tom in Santa Cruz. He says, when I heard the transcript of the testimony, the image that came to mind, this is about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, was from the Vietnam War. Picture a U.S. aviator sitting in front of a camera, obviously starved and in physical distress. He reads a confession in which he admits everything from bombing hospitals and schools to killing innocent rice farmers and plotting against the revolution. He uses stilted and inappropriate language and grammar and inappropriate facial expressions to show that he is making the statement under duress. Need I say more? We are the North Vietnamese. And in a postscript, Tom adds, my mother was a Fitzgerald. Tomorrow I'll be hoisting a glass of Jameson's while wearing a green Hawaiian shirt. May you be in heaven for a week before the devil knows you died. And he closes with Aaron Gobralis. We continue with our friend Brad Friedman. He's the proprietor of bradblog.com. And in a couple of minutes, we'll get to some key developments in the voter integrity area that Brad covers, like a wet towel. But first, John joins us from Carmel Valley with a comment about Valerie Wilson's testimony today. Go, John.
She paused right after she got that question, and my mind said, oh, please, don't answer it.
The question about
anything.
The question about political party, yeah.
Or at least challenge him. I think I would have been tempted, it may have been the wrong thing to do, but I would have been tempted to say,
none of your goddamn, business.
What relevance does that have? What relevance does that have to the issues at hand? Challenge him. And she didn't do that. She decided honesty was the best policy, but that must have been real grist. I didn't listen to the right wingers today, but they must have had a field day with that.
Yeah, I bet they did. And, Brad, do you have a comment about that?
Well, as far as I know, it's not yet against the law to be a Democrat. So, and you had a pretty much a 50-50 shot. She was going to be one or the other, most likely. And, you know, the fact that she was, I saw her pause there as well. And then I was actually pleased. She came back quite loud and proud and said, yes, I am a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have anything to do with the matter, and I think that Tom Davis's attempts to tear down her story were, from where I sat, I thought they were just unsuccessful from top to bottom. He had absolutely nothing, it seemed to me. Everything he tried, she had an answer to.
Yeah.
It was somebody mentioned just recently on your program that it was a McCarthy-esque.
That was me.
Okay. Maybe we ought to start referring to the whole party as the McCarthy Party, because he's been so resurrected that his real period looks pale by comparison.
Mm-hmm.
It's really true. And, of course, if you listen to Ann Coulter, she idolizes Joe McCarthy. So it's not quite a stretch to say that that's exactly what these guys are.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Rick's got a comment on the same thing. Rick from Orangeville, join us. Go ahead, sir.
Hi there. I didn't hear the original testimony, but I heard a replay of it.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that she would say, "I'm proud to be a Democrat, but unlike others in this town, or unlike some others in this town, I put my country before my party."
Mm-hmm. Well, it was interesting because Waxman, and I can't remember, there was at least one other Democrat who kind of offered that up for her, saying that, she was nonpartisan, that the truth is not Democratic or Republican. And they did lay those comments, but the soundbite will be lifted, and you can imagine the glee with which Michael Savage and others will treat that.
Yes, and also, if you've worked for the CIA for 20 years, you've worked for different administrations, and going in, you don't care about what the administration is, you care about what your mission is.
Right. Well, and we have to remember that while the Bush administration is desperate to recast this whole thing in partisan terms, it was the CIA that went to the Justice Department and said, "We've got a problem with the leak that came out of the White House." It wasn't Henry Waxman, it wasn't John Kerry or some other Democrat running for president. It was the CIA seeking to defend itself.
And that's one of the things that's one of the points that has been made now for 3 years, not necessarily in the Washington Post or New York Times, but why would the CIA have requested an investigation in the first place from the Department of Justice?
Mm-hmm.
So, that put the lie to their claims that she was not covert in the first place. If she was a desk jockey, as they like to say, there would have never been this investigation to begin with.
Now, Brad, to the testimony of this White House security chief, we know about the phrase, "don't ask, don't tell." I think we need a new one, "don't ask, no tell."
Very good. That was the highlight. Actually, before I get to that, real quickly, I just wanted to say I heard from Larry Johnson, who is, as I mentioned, a schoolmate of Valerie Plame's,
mm-hmm.
From the CIA. And he and another former CIA man, Jim Marcinkowski, took her home, and he let me know that she was feeling great, that she was delighted to have finally been able to tell her story. She felt very good about it, and that, in fact, felt that there was no problem at all answering any of the questions of the Republicans on the panel. And I would concur. I thought she was just great.
Well, let's go to the break, and then we'll come back and do Nodell, and then we'll talk about your main beat, election issues. And there has been an interesting break as representatives of the disabled community have come out staunchly opposed to electronic voting machines, the DREs. We'll talk about that next with Brad Friedman here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA.
You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the St. Patrick's Day weekend. And for some, it's going to be a wild one. From the PBC Tax Deductible Music Archives, we're playing my favorite Irish rock and roll here. This is Thin Lizzy. It's called Wild One.
Wild One, won't you please come home? You've been away too long, will ya? We need you home. We need you near. Come back, Wild One, will ya?
That's me on air guitar, then. We continue our visit with Brad Friedman. He runs bradblog.com, the number one site covering election integrity and other issues in the news. And what did I want to mention here? Oh, yeah, it's time to calibrate our watches, Brad. It is 5:34:40 right now, Pacific Daylight Time. And this would be the perfect moment for the White House to announce the resignation of Alberto Gonzalez. Right? Because Friday night is when everybody's out, you know, having a good time. The Saturday morning newspaper doesn't get read, and that's how you do something you don't really want people to pay attention to.
Well, that's right, although I have a feeling that's not going to happen, at least not today.
Well, I just checked at the White House website, and they still have the promo photo up there with the Irish guy and the bowl of shamrocks.
Yeah, this is usually when they dump a lot of documents, and I think that they were releasing more email today, as I understand, at least as reported over by Josh Marshall over Talking Points memo concerning the U.S. attorney scandal, which is very interesting because that has now come together with the entire election issue and the voter fraud nonsense that the Republicans have been pushing. I will tell you, though, on from a very good source tells me that the DOJ has agreed to provide a bunch of anticipated documents and responses to the Judiciary Committee's request for interviews with a lot of folks. They're going to do that on Monday, which is interesting that they didn't do it Friday night, but they're waiting for Monday. So there will be some, let's call it, cooperation from the DOJ on Monday, according to my sources.
We'll circle back to the U.S. attorney case because it has a number of connections to voting integrity issues and even one that's being used as a smokescreen. But let's complete our thought about James Nodell. He surfaced today without a subpoena, but clearly was surprised that he was going to be required to testify about issues he thought he could fluff off. And what he told the committee was that there has been absolutely no internal investigation in the White House into the White House leak that led to the whole Valerie Plame scandal, the Scooter Libby trial, and all that. And it's just so amazing because Bush could have cut this off at the pass with a little internal investigation. He could have shown Scooter Libby the door and Dick Armitage and said, hey, that's it, top, you know, the whole nine yards of it. And instead, they hunkered down and they've had to endure this whole process, and it ain't over.
No, it's not. And it was just absolutely incredible. I had never heard of James Nodell, but he is the White House, the director of security for the White House, the security office. And he absolutely stunned the entire congressional panel who kept asking him over and over the same question. He absolutely stunned them when he said there has been no investigation in the White House into the leak matter at all. This, despite Bush's promises that he, you know, he wants to get to the bottom of this and he's going to have an investigation, there was absolutely no record of any investigation having happened out of that White House security office, and Nodell had absolutely no explanation for it. He was almost embarrassed, it seemed to me.
Well, and this is where I would, in a friendly way, borrow the nomenclature of Mike Malloy. Because these people have operated like a crime family. The testimony that was played, Scooter Libby's comments to the grand jury that was played during his trial, you know, described this scene where he went to Cheney and tried to have a conversation with him about Scooter's own role in the leak and how he had learned the information about Valerie from Cheney himself. And he described Cheney as almost wordless, just kind of making gestures and kind of cocking his head and sending the clear signal, I'm not going to talk about this with you. And so the whole idea of deniability and the what one would read into this is that they know they've lied, they know they've broken the law, and they're doing everything they can to minimize their legal vulnerabilities.
I would say forestall their legal vulnerabilities. I mean, you know, the fact that we are now, what, 3 years into this thing, into this leak, and they put up a chart, which we also have at bradblog.com late this afternoon. They put up a chart showing that Valerie Plame's name was disclosed at least 20 different times within the White House. Now, you remember when Bush said, you know, if someone disclosed classified information in my administration, I want to know about it.
Yeah.
And that heads would roll. So 20 different people had exposed this, and yet an internal investigation never occurred in the White House at all over this Valerie Plame matter. That, to me, was the real stunner of today, even more so than what Valerie Plame said, because so much of that we already knew, those of us who at least who gave a damn enough to pay attention. But this Nodell admission was incredible.
And late this afternoon, Henry Waxman, who chaired that committee, by the way, today, sent a letter to the White House demanding an explanation for the lack of an investigation, which apparently is in direct violation with an executive order that Bush signed in March of 2003 requiring the White House to take appropriate, this is a quote, take appropriate and prompt corrective action whenever there is a release of classified information. That was never done. Waxman has requested a response, and what was done in accordance with this executive order 12958. That full letter is up at bradblog.com, and we'll see how they respond. I'll tell you what, the news is tightening over there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Now, Brad, the other thing that was interesting from the voting integrity desk that you inhabit there is that Bush has tried to use so-called voter fraud as a reason that he canned or permitted Alberto Gonzalez to can some of these U.S. attorneys. Talk a little bit about voter fraud and what that really means.
It's phony. It doesn't exist. It's been used as a ploy by the Republicans now, and they've put a great deal of money, a great deal of time into passing off this notion of a voter fraud epidemic in America. And in fact, they put together a phony front group by the name of American Center for Voting Rights that I've spoken with you about for some time because I've been reporting on them over at Bradblog, a completely phony group. It was created by they say they're a nonpartisan tax-exempt group, but in fact it was founded by the Bush-Cheney general counsel from the 2004 election and the RNC communications director. Their sole mission was to run around, create phony reports about this voter fraud epidemic, and they would come up with all sorts of nonsense, all of which would be debunked. A fabulous report came out last week from Columbia University showing that over the past, I think it's 4 years, there has been a total of 8 cases a year across the entire nation of voter fraud.
Well, we better crack down before it gets out of hand.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. That is all at the heart of this U.S. attorney firing scandal. It's incredible. Down in New Mexico, up in Washington, the reason they've given that they fired those prosecutors was because they were not aggressively enough following the charges of voter fraud in their respective states. Well, one of them, David Iglesias, said, you know, there's nothing. We have no evidence here. I can't drag people in before a grand jury for a phony investigation. And that was enough to run them out of town and out of a job. I had a letter we ran this week from a Democratic attorney in New Mexico who was there as all of this was going on. This was back in 2004. And they had created some 6,000 phony voter registration concerns, none of which apparently added. No, there was one. There was one actual registration fraud that they found. It was by a teenager who had done it for a prank. And he didn't vote. He never voted. He simply filled out a voter registration form as a prank. Everything else fell through. Yet, they have been using this all over the country as a political bludgeon. And now we have evidence that the Department of Justice itself was being used as this political bludgeon to keep people away from the polls, to give the idea that there was this voter fraud epidemic, to require these photo ID restrictions when over 20 million Americans don't even have a photo ID that would meet these restrictions. So all of these scandals, again, are coming together, and it's amazing. But there was a great editorial in the New York Times.
I've got it right here. Yep.
Calling out the phony voter fraud charges. So I think in the end, this has been a very good thing because it's been folks like you and me who have been talking about the nonsense that is this voter fraud thing. And now finally it's made its way to the front pages, and a lot of other people are saying that it is a fraud. That said, that is distinct. Voter fraud is distinct from election fraud.
Yes, indeed.
Where we've got insiders, elections officials, and so forth, concerns about the voting machines. That is a very real problem. And in fact, we saw that this week. Probably got lost in the headlines, but
Two election officials from Cuyahoga County, Ohio, were convicted and sentenced to the maximum 18-month sentence for having rigged the 2004 presidential election in Ohio.
And their role was the recount. They didn't want a full recount, so they rigged the what were supposed to be random sample precincts from Cuyahoga County. They rigged it so that they could show that any discrepancies were under the threshold, and apparently they had vacation plans and didn't want to stick around and count ballots.
Well, you know what? That's what they say. But, in fact, we don't know, and both the judge and the prosecutor feels that the conspiracy goes much higher from just these two election workers. We don't know why they didn't want to do a legitimate count of those ballots, and I'm not going to for a second accept this notion that they were just they didn't want to do the count. Look,
right.
They opened up those ballots, they unsealed sealed ballot boxes and counted in advance of the recount,
mm-hmm.
so that they could so that they could assure they wouldn't have to do a full countywide recount.
Yeah. Brad, there's one other thing that I wanted to tie into the U.S. attorney scandal, and that is Carol Lam in San Diego. You and I have talked endlessly about District 50, the special election to replace Duke Cunningham that showed a very close result between Francine Busby and Brian Bilbray. And what we learned from some of these emails and the comments that have occurred over the past couple of weeks is that Bilbray or his supporters put pressure on Carol Lam to pop some cases related to illegal immigration, because that's what he was using as the key campaign theme to try to defeat Busby in that special election. And so it just shows the connectivity here between the idea that, you can muscle your way into elections, you can use political appointed cronies or presumed cronies to try to do your dirty work for you. And it just shows that phrase, culture of corruption, is accurate. It's not limited to just Duke Cunningham or just Karl Rove. It really seems to be endemic.
It does indeed. And don't forget, there was the Busby team had reported that there was a grand jury investigation into whether Bilbray was legally registered in that district.
Mm-hmm.
And now I never saw any grand jury report. I don't know what happened, but we do know that there was a lot of pressure on those prosecutors. In fact, Carol Lam, who might have well been overseeing such a grand jury, and she might have been pressured to drop that case.
Yeah.
The politicization of the Department of Justice is like nothing we have ever seen before.
John Mitchell's smiling up there somewhere. We're going to take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Brad Friedman.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
The Philly Sunshine Show.
Philly Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Philly Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Happy Friday, everybody, and let's get you to your destination safely, and let's talk a little about what's happening in Santa Cruz. It's Brian Caforte at Mystery Spot Road. We have a vehicle that went off the roadway and landed on its roof in a ditch. Emergency crews remain on scene. CHP is still there, and they are wrapping up things. We also want to talk about Santa Cruz, Plymouth Street and Highway 1. A car and a motorcycle involved in the crash. They are actually on the on-ramp to southbound 1, and unfortunately, major injuries reported there, so emergency crews remain on scene. Soledad, looks like northbound 101 at Salinas River. We have a disabled vehicle. The right lane is partially blocked. And Greenfield, northbound 101 at Hobson, injury crash, an overturned vehicle there. Big account, small account, they all count. Feel valid no matter how much they're worth. Talk to Chuck, Charles Schwab, 1-800-4-SCHWAB. That's traffic on KRXA.
Allen Show, getting you ready for St. Patrick's Day weekend. One more tune from U2. This is from the Gangs of New York soundtrack, The Hands That Build America. Many of them fine Irish hands. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is handling your phone calls this afternoon.
Oh, my love, it's a long way we've come. From the freckled hills to the steel and glass canyons, from the stony fields to hanging steel skies.
And we continue our conversation with Brad Friedman. If you've never been there, you got to visit bradblog.com and look at it in the classic green scheme, the color scheme. Chris in Salinas has been holding patiently, we hope, for quite a while now. Chris, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
How you doing, Peter, and how you doing, Brad?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I just want to give a shout-out. There's a group here in Monterey County called Save Elections Monterey County, and we're going to be meeting on March the 20th with the Voting Rights Committee to talk about banning or trying to ban DRE machines from Monterey County. And I just want to give a shout-out to this is a public meeting, and it's going to be at the elections headquarters and at 6 o'clock on the 20th.
Will that be in the Anshundo conference room?
Yeah. Claudio Valenzuela is supposed to be there, and Fernando Armenta and Jerry Smith are the two board of supervisors that sit on this committee.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, let me give you a couple of let me give you an address, bradblog.com/Holt. There is all kinds of documents and talking points there exactly why DRE touchscreen voting machines need to be banned, and a report from disabled folks saying we need to ban these machines if they don't meet the disabled accessibility requirements. A lot of information there, and I really want to thank you for getting the word out and taking the lead in getting those god-awful machines, touchscreen voting machines, banned, hopefully, in Monterey and anywhere else within the sound of this, my voice.
Okay.
Also, I really need some help. Do you have any information on specific problems with Sequoia Edge 2 machines? I could really use some information on that.
Go to Brad Blog. Do a search for yellow button. Actually,
okay.
Just do a search for Sequoia, and you'll get quite a few articles. Yeah, there's a yellow button on the back that allows the voters to vote as many times as they want. And, in fact, the Sequoia system was hacked accidentally in Pennsylvania just before the 2006 elections. And there's going to be more to come on Sequoia, by the way. But look at Brad Blog. Do a search there. There's a lot of stuff on Sequoia specifically.
Chris, okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your activism. I really appreciate that.
Now, Peter, can I get in one real quick thing? I wanted to close.
Sure.
I had mentioned that group, the American Center for Voting Rights, that phony voting rights front group.
Right.
As of this week,
it looks as if they have gone entirely missing. After 3 years of dogging these guys, their website has now comes up with a bad request, empty page.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to have been since the voter fraud nonsense has been tied to the U.S. attorney scandal. So ACBR is now gone on the run. If I can learn more, I will. But I think I'll take the opportunity to say I won, they lost.
Cool. All right. Put another notch in your belt. Now, you referenced a moment ago that leaders of disability community have come forward and said that you shouldn't save these DRE machines for us. Now, this has been an interesting argument that's been presented all along, is that, sure, these machines are unreliable. They shouldn't be used in most cases. But HAVA requires us to super serve the disabled voter and allow them to vote privately and independently. And you have a post here from Stanley Eicher, Executive Director of the Disability Law Center. We must debunk the myth that we have to choose between accessible voting and verifiable voting. Democracy requires that we have both.
Exactly right. These were two. There was two different statements. One you mentioned from the Disability Law Center in Massachusetts. Another from a group of disabled and blind voters, disabled and blind voter advocates around the country now, more than 20 when I originally ran the letter. I think there's many more now, led by a blind technical expert by the name of Noel Runyon.
Mm-hmm.
And they have said DRE machines, those are the touchscreen machines, are neither fully accessible nor secure and accurate. They're inappropriate for use. And they make it impossible for voters to verify that their votes will be counted as cast. This is hugely important because, as you say, the disabled community has been used from the get-go as a reason why all of America needs to vote on these touchscreen machines. And it's outrageous, and I'm delighted, finally, that blind and disabled voters are speaking up about this and making some noise, because up till now, the only voices we've heard have been from folks like the National Federation for the Blind and the American Association of People with Disabilities, and both of those organizations have received thousands, in the case of National Federation for the Blind, $1 million from Diebold voting machine companies. So they are compromised, should not be listened to, and yet they have been testifying up on in Congress now for years as the only voices speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
So finally we're hearing some other voices from the disabilities community saying, you know, no, there are better alternatives.
Yep.
That will allow us to vote in this way.
Well, this is excellent news. Go to bradblog.com and read all about it. Brad, I'm going to ring off with you because I want to put Steve on to talk about the peace marches going on tomorrow. So we will catch you next week.
Go get them. Have a great weekend and a happy holiday, my friend.
Great. Thank you very much. Now, tomorrow there are marches in Eureka and also in the Monterey area. And Steve's on the line from Watsonville. What did you want to tell us, Steve?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about San Francisco that I'll beat Sunday, but Sam Farr will be at the one on Saturday in Santa Cruz if anyone wants to see our congressman.
Great.
But I'd like to invite everyone to listening to join us at the Embarcadero Center. That's Justin Hermes Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Right there by the Ferry Building.
Right.
We're going to march up to Civic Center, and we're meeting. We're starting at noon.
That's noon Sunday, right?
Noon on Sunday.
Great.
Organize you know, a little earlier than that.
All right. I'm actually going to be in the area, so I'll be part of that. Thank you, Steve. I got to saddle up Trigger here and head off. Thanks for joining me on the Peter B. Collins Show. Learn more at peterbcollins.com. Thanks, Sacramento.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I-
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Tom Foti. Will the president stand fast, or will he give in to the growing calls for a change at the top of the Justice Department?
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. It now looks to a number of Republican sources that President Bush will be forced to fire Attorney General Gonzalez. One of them with ties to the White House tells CBS News that it's inevitable Mr. Bush will tell his AG to resign. They say the president is resistant, but if the drumbeat against Gonzalez continues, they say Mr. Bush will have no choice.
All this stemming from the not-so-quiet firing of 8 federal prosecutors, all Republicans, amid many congressional questions why and charges the answer is politics. New Mexico's David Iglesias is not accepting the Justice Department's early claim that the reason for his firing was the quality of his work.
I'm just horribly disappointed in how the Justice Department handled this. You know, we're supposed to be the good guys. We're supposed to be the ones telling the truth and making sure justice is done. And how I was treated and how my colleagues are treated is just unconscionable. I mean, all I want out of this is a simple apology and thanks for service done. That's it.
A congressional committee has heard from Valerie Plame Wilson, the ex-CIA operative whose public ID led to a major investigation and one high-profile White House conviction.
Plame's CIA job was managing secret programs to find weapons of mass destruction. Then she woke up to read her name in the morning paper nearly 4 years ago.
And I felt like I had been hit in the gut. It was over in an instant, and I immediately thought of my family's safety.
I asked whether she'd gotten an apology from the president, the vice president, Karl Rove, or Scooter Libby. She said no.
CBS News correspondent Gloria Borger. What can you say about the weather and travel in the Northeast? Well, you can start with the word mess.
Hundreds of people stood in line, and they all had a story. Jerry's U.S. Air flight canceled.
They're saying that there's ice pellets and rain on the tarmac, and they won't let the planes take off.
Stacy?
My flight is canceled, and the flight's out to Pittsburgh.
But Paula had the worst day of all.
Our flight was supposed to leave at 7:45, and at 7:25, they canceled all their flights, every single one of them. We're going to get 6 to 9 inches of snow in Manhattan. So we rented a car, and we drove to Philly, and now we're trying to get out of Philly.
At Philadelphia International Airport, Michelle Durham, CBS News, Philadelphia.
Hundreds of flights canceled there and